So we're going to talk about dating. And I mean, I really want to honor people's journey here tonight, because for me, I first encountered Jesus when I was about 19 years old. I'd done a lot of dating before that. I did a little bit of dating after that. And so I know that everybody's story is different. So I want to honor stories tonight, but I actually want to give some wisdom, I think, that will set you up well, whether you're dating now, whether you're a parent with children that are dating, whether you want to be dating, or whether you couldn't think of anything worse than dating. I want to set you up well tonight. I'm going to put my little timer on so that I can honor your time tonight. There we go. So, the mysterious art of dating. You know, the heart flutters. We know it. It's nice, right? The romance. So nice. The emotions. Depends. Can be nice. Can be not nice. The fun, the highs and lows of dating. I feel like we can't really talk about dating before we actually look at what love is. So can we do that first? And there's a lot of talk about love out there. Can I just say, some things that people label love, they're just not. I'm sorry. So what it is, what it isn't, often love gets mistaken for emotion. It's way more than that. Feelings, way beyond that. Unfortunately, a commodity to be fallen in and out of. It's not a car door. You can't fall in and out of love. Or worse, given and taken away. And if any of the love that you know falls into that category, I would suggest that that's not love at all. So let's set the stage with what Scripture actually says about love. This chair is really squeaky. Sorry. A little bit ADHD. 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7 in the Passion Translation says this: love is large and incredibly patient. Love is gentle and consistently kind to all. It refuses to be jealous when blessing comes to someone else. Love does not brag about one's achievements nor inflate its own importance. Love does not traffic in shame and disrespect, nor selfishly seek its own honor. Love is not easily irritated or quick to take offense. Love joyfully celebrates honesty and finds no delight in what is wrong. Love is a safe place of shelter, for it never stops believing for the best for others. Love never takes failure as defeat, for it never gives up. That's what love is. And I would say none of us have really arrived at the pinnacle of that at this point. So love's a journey that we're all on. And clearly love in this passage is not confined to just a romantic love between a couple, but it should also be a goal or a filter for love in every aspect of our lives. And it's way more than a feeling, and it's way more about what we give than what we receive. And it's always a good place to start, I think, when we're talking about dating, by reminding you, us, that God created you, values you highly. He values you highly. He sees you as unique, each and every one of you, even if you don't feel it. He sees you as amazing, even if you don't feel it. That's how God sees you. He wants a relationship with you that is based in free will. So it's your choice, not his. He extends grace to you beyond what any mere mortal would consider reasonable. And if you've been a recipient of God's grace, you'd have to agree with that. And he sees the person you are dating or want to date or may date exactly the same way. Exactly the same way. So we need to try and see our partner or the person we want to date or whatever through God's eyes. Not an object, but a living, breathing son or daughter of God. Not a fashion accessory to impress others. Not a social media status. That's pretty shallow. Not a conquest or an ego booster. I'm dating the hottest girl in the room. Well, good for you. But someone to be cherished and treated with honor and respect because of whose they are. And there's a weightiness to this. There's a weightiness to dating. Now, it might surprise you to learn that it's been a long time since I've dated. Come on. But in my role, I've had the honor of observing, guiding, counseling, and walking alongside many, 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 I couldn't even tell you how many relationships. So I feel like I've got a little bit of wisdom, got a little bit of experience to add to this topic, and I've seen people do it really well, and that's amazing. And I've seen people do the opposite. So dating is the foundation to a rich, long-lasting relationship. Does that mean that you will marry the person you are currently dating? That's the question. Not necessarily. But dating is certainly the way to find that out. So I thought to get on the same page, because when I Googled dating, because again, I'm like 150,000 years old, I needed to understand that what I was talking about was what you were thinking about, right? So it's not seeing people, it's not talking to people, there's all these weird little precursors to dating now. Dating is, by definition, where two people with romantic intentions spend time together to get to know each other better. It's a stage where individuals explore mutual compatibility. Do you get along? That helps. Interests, values, and potential for a further romantic relationship. So it's like, I like you. There's an attraction. Sometimes in Christian circles, we can get really weird about this attraction thing. I was talking to Sarah about it the other day. It's like, are they a godly person? Well, I would say they can be as godly as you want, but if you're not attracted to them, then please don't date them. That's already a disaster, okay? There's attraction. I enjoy being around you. That's a good sign, right, if you're dating. We've got a bit in common. I find you interesting. That's also a good sign. I feel a connection to you. I'd like to spend some time getting to know you better to see if there is anything else. Is it exclusive? Yes. It's getting to know someone with purpose. So, if you can't prioritize one person at this point, a serious relationship at this point is probably not for you. If you're talking to 57 people via social media and you're trying to work out which one you're most attracted to, dating is not for you right now, okay? It's not. And if someone wants to date you and they're talking to 57 people on social media and Snapchat and goodness knows what other app that you have, if someone is doing that and wants to date you, run away. Seriously, delete, block, get rid of them. They're not serious. And I think reality shows like The Bachelor that we see, where there's like this one gorgeous girl, this one gorgeous boy, and then there's this plethora of amazing people that are lining up to date them. They're not reality, P. I'm sorry, I know they call them reality TV. It's not in any way reality. They are staged. They are highly scripted. They are highly edited. They are purely for entertainment. There is no relational value in watching any of those shows. There is a little bit of entertainment, I will admit. However, it's really quite sad. It's a little bit like rejection TV. So earlier this week, when Levi asked me would I be prepared to speak on this topic, I asked a few of my friends who are 30 and under, both single and currently dating, for observations, comments, and questions they thought might be helpful for me at 157 years old to help you in your dating journey. The last thing I want to do is answer questions that no one's asking. That would be boring and very uncompelling. So that's what's going to form what we're going to talk about tonight. It's not exhaustive. If we wanted to talk about dating exhaustively, we would be here till next week. So we don't have that time. But I think it will be helpful. So before you begin, I don't know when being in a relationship became the ultimate goal in life. I don't know when that happened. I just don't. I mean, it can be a goal. It's okay for you to go, I'd really like to find someone to spend my life. That's a good goal. But my ultimate goal? I find that very uncompelling. My ultimate goal in life is to be the best version of me that I can be. To be kind, to be generous, to be secure, to be loving, to accurately reflect Jesus in every area of my life. So being in a relationship can be a goal, and it's a good one, but the ultimate goal, find a more compelling one. I think we need to be determined to live a life, a full, big, large, compelling life, regardless of what stage we're in. And it has absolutely nothing to do with what your relationship status is. I find the most attractive people I come across in life are people who are running breathlessly to find and fulfill their vision or passion or purpose. They're attractive people. But I've also met people who are literally sitting, waiting for a relationship so that they can begin their life. That is so sad. You know, because life, we only get one go at this life. I'm 60 years old. You only get one go at this. This isn't a dress rehearsal. And the more time you spend waiting and wasting your life for the hope that you might meet someone, it's just sad. I would say study, travel, invest. Don't miss a moment. Run that peak to park. Do that triathlon. I saw one of my friends today did their first triathlon. If you're not fitness, find something else, you know? Go eat at that restaurant that you've always wanted to eat at in wherever, in Italy. Then should a relationship present itself, you actually have a life to share. Honestly, it's like, go get a life. Run your hardest, and if some amazing person is running fast enough to keep up with it that you might notice them, well, that's a good thing, right? Dating doesn't make you any more whole. You know, two half people don't make a whole person, and they don't make a good relationship. When you date someone, it should actually complement your life, not complete it. Is that okay? Okay, this is before you begin. We haven't even got to dating yet. Make sure you are not just in love with the idea of being in love. Again, very uncompelling. There's a lot of pressure out there. There's a lot of pressure out there to change your relationship status, to put your pictures on Instagram, to have those moments with the right aesthetics now, apparently, wearing the matching kind of, not matching, but complementary clothes. It's a lot of pressure out there. Resist it. Honestly. And I just have to say, too, a heads up. I said this morning, but I need to say it again. Those of you who are currently in relationships, leave the single people alone. They're okay. They're not looking at you with longing, going, oh my God, I wish I could be just like that. They're not. Leave them alone. They come to you and say, do you know someone? Well, that's different. But stop the guilt trip of, you need to be in a relationship before I want to hang around with you. Oh, only the couples are going. Stop it. It's horrible. They're okay, people. Building a friendship is underrated. You know, it's like, and I hate this in any form, but I see it in the church and I don't like it. When people start building a friendship, people start going, ooh, have you, honestly, grow up. Did you see them? I've seen them talking. I saw them talking in the car. They came together. Stop it. We're adults here, people. We're adults. Building a friendship is underrated. That should be absolutely championed, not criticized. I'm sorry. I'm trying to make a smile while I punch you in the teeth, but here we go. Okay, this is my last one on before we begin. Please don't overthink it. Sam Lucas had a shirt on this morning. Does he still have it on? Can't see him. That says, us, overthinker. Don't be an overthinker. Don't overthink it. But for the love of God, give it some thought. There's a balance. Okay, don't be over here waiting for, I don't know, who's someone who's really like the bee's knees at the moment? Anyone? I was thinking someone famous, but you know. So don't be over here waiting for somebody who clearly doesn't. You know, I went to a conference a few years ago and Justin Bieber was there. And just as an attendee, no, he wasn't singing or anything. And there was this gaggle of girls outside. I can only call it a gaggle of girls because that's what they were. Who were there for, I think, like 3 days, the conference went for. Some of them had signs that said, marry me. And I'm like, not going to happen, love. Honestly. Don't overthink it, but for the love of God, put some thought into it. Throw away the list. I feel like the list is a big ick. I don't know if we even do the list anymore, but I feel like the list is a big ick. You know, the 10 things that I'm looking for in my partner. I just feel like that's an ick. It's particularly when you stick it to the back of a door or something. That's, you laugh, but I've seen them. I've had people pull them out in my office. This is my list. I'm like, well, good for you. Definitely have an idea of what you're looking for in someone that you'd like to have a relationship with. But don't be paralyzed by indecision either. I mean, again, I've seen this. I can't speak to many other environments, but I've seen this in church life. There seems to be this, you know, but what if I ask them out and they say no? Well, wow. They said no, are you okay? Like, do you want to, like, I don't know, you know, feed your soup and comb your hair? I'm like, what is the worst that could happen if you like someone, you've spent a bit of time getting to know each other, there's interest there, you'd like to get them to know them a bit better. What is the problem with saying, hey, do you want to catch up for coffee? It's really not that hard. It does take a little bit of courage. You do have to be a big person. What's the worst they could say? Yeah, no thanks. I think better to have tried and failed than never to have tried at all. And again, it's for grown-ups. If you can't stand the thought of someone saying, no thanks, you're not ready to date someone. Is that okay? Are you okay? Is everyone okay? I don't want to traumatize you. Okay. Wisdom for the journey. This is when you're dating. Number one, it's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be fun. It really is. Don't get too intense. There's some intense little chaps out there. I've seen them. It's very intense. Don't be intense. It's supposed to be fun. Getting to know someone is actually supposed to be enjoyable. You should smile and laugh and do fun things. I'm not saying there won't be challenges to work through. You're getting to know someone. But it should be fun. It should be enjoyable. I just don't know how you would go if it was so intense from day one and then you actually got mad. There's nowhere to go. I mean, life gets intense. Let's start over here where it's fun. And then we have to work through different opinions, different likes, maybe baggage from life. Let's be honest, we've all got some baggage to work through. But if you're dating someone and it's constantly like wading through wet cement up to your neck, that's not fun or enjoyable for anyone, and I would question the future of that. Get a counselor, talk to your friends, work out your stuff. One of the things that really helped me in life many years ago, as I went to a conference, it was a night, where someone was speaking and they were talking about, you know, particularly girls being, and I'm not at all trying to be sexist, but girls being a little bit emotional, you know, in our decision making. And, you know, we have lots. I mean, people tell me I'm a lot all the time, and I know I'm a lot. But what I also know is I am too much for my husband to deal with the width and depth and breadth of my emotions every day. Get a friend, get a counselor, work out the intense stuff for yourself and keep your relationship, your dating, just a little bit fun. This is a big one. Communication is key. Repeat after me. Communication is key. If you can talk about it, you can generally work it out. If you can be honest, if you can be open, if you are coming from the point of, I don't really want to tell this person how I really feel because I'm scared that they might leave me, pack it up. Pack it up. Work out how to talk to each other about the things that matter. Oh, hello. Be open, be honest, be respectful in your communication. It's crucial. And both partners should feel comfortable expressing their thoughts, feelings, and concerns, and actively listen to each other. I can't tell you the number of people that I've sat with who have told me how they really feel about the person that they're with, and I've said, okay, you need to begin a discussion, and they go, oh no, I don't want to ruin the relationship. I'm like, well, just start that clock right now. Seriously, you need to be able to, and don't just be a, I just tell it like it is. Well, I don't like the way you chew. That's not going to go well. You know, try and be honest, respectful, and communicate well. Conflict isn't a bad thing. I don't like conflict. I don't like it. I've gotten really good at it. Conflict isn't a bad thing. As long as it's approached and worked through with maturity, it will actually make your relationship stronger. If you have a relationship and you come to me and you say, we never argue, I would say, either you're a liar or the other person doesn't know how you feel about things. When Chris and I decided to get married, it was a really long story and we're not going to go there, but when we decided to get married, we did pre-marriage counseling. And we had a great relationship. So I'm going to share very honestly here. We had a great relationship. And we did this little test thing called Prepare. And we went to see our pastor, who is lovely. And he's like, oh, you guys are a great couple. It's like, yes. Always good to get the pastor's tick, right? You're a great couple. And you just have one growth area, he called it. And that's conflict resolution. My husband laughed out loud. Out loud, and said, oh, that's ridiculous. We don't have any conflict. I said nothing. And our pastor, who was very wise, said, you have no conflict because this is what's happening. You, Chris, very strong personality. I don't know if you've met him, very strong personality, quite direct, would say how things were going to happen. He would make statements. He would whatever. Comments about people, comments about life. I had grown up in a home where there was a lot of conflict all the time. It was a very angry house. And my way of dealing with that was to make myself very small and very quiet and not say anything, because I found that if I did that, then all the conflict would go over the top of my head, and by the time, you know, I'd had a sleep and got up, it was all gone. The problem with that in a relationship is it is death in the pot. So he said, this is what happens. You say something, she says nothing, but it's not actually how she feels. And he made this statement to me that I've never forgotten. He said, and I've probably said it to half of you in the room. He said, that is really unfair. You think that you're doing Chris a favor by keeping it peaceful, but one day he'll forget to take the wheelie bins out and you will leave, and that will be really unfair. And it won't be anything to do with the wheelie bins. It will be because he has never known how you feel. Conflict resolution is a really big thing. Conflict is not bad. It just needs to be worked through with maturity, and it will make your relationship stronger. I hesitate to say this to this generation, but you can't beat in person. I know we love our little phones. I know we love FaceTime. I know we love Snapchat, whatever else we've got, Messenger, whatever else. You can't beat in person. Don't build on text. I tell you why. It's really hard to pick up emotion or inflection in a text. It's really easy to be misunderstood. And if you do end up marrying that person, here's a heads up, it will be in person. You will spend time in person. So don't build it. I think it's easy to type things. It's easy to text things. It's easy to say things when you're not in front of someone. But when you're in front of someone, you actually have to talk to the person. So don't build it on text or FaceTime. And always for conflict resolution, always, always in person. Never ever try and have an argument over text. Any married couples in the room ever tried to have or dating couples tried to have an argument over, no, don't do it. So you can't beat in person. Don't stop working on yourself. Is this okay? It's just some wisdom bombs. Don't stop working on yourself and don't lose yourself in the relationship. Who has ever witnessed people who date, they were two people. Now it's really hard to tell which one is which. They dress the same, they speak the same, all of a sudden they'd like the same things. That is, again, a big ick. You're still a person. You still should have goals and dreams. And as much as you're a couple, you're still individuals with a purpose and a calling to pursue. So don't fall into the trap of simply becoming what you think the other person wants. Again, uncompelling. They were attracted to who you are when they met you. So if you transform yourself into who you think they want you to be, well, what happened to the attraction at the beginning when... And can I say conversely, if you meet someone and you want to change them into... I find this a lot with can I go there? Yes. With... sorry, just thinking, could I go there? With relationships where potentially one of them is very extroverted, very passionate about life, and the other person is attracted to them for that reason, but when they start dating, they only want that for themselves. Can I tell you that is manipulation and control and really ugly, and please don't do that. Remember, they were attracted to who you were before they actually knew you. And I'd also say be supportive of your partner pursuing their purpose and calling, but don't forsake your own. Don't forsake your own. It can be a juggling act, but if you can't work it out now, then you won't work it out later. This is the easiest it will be and the most flexible you'll be when you're first dating. Okay, be careful who you let speak into your relationships, but you do need someone. You do need someone. Having accountability partners, or we call them couples coaches here, who can offer guidance and support, someone that you can actually talk to about how you feel and what's going on, it's beneficial. And it doesn't have to be. It can be if you're really close to your mum, your dad, your family, your brother, I don't know, a friend. But I would say pick someone who has runs on the board for a good relationship. It is pointless to talk to your single friend who's never had a relationship about your relationship and want a relationship advice, unless you're asking, am I being ridiculous? And they know you. Okay. So find someone to talk to. I am getting through this. Don't isolate yourself from friends or community, because they'll pick up red flags that you can't see. I would say date your family and your friends. I said it this morning, I'll say it again. Make sure, especially if you're new in a relationship, make sure that person, you and that person, spend time with your friend group, their friend group, your family, their family, to see if it's actually going to fit. Okay? I just wanted to really quickly touch on red flags. Lots of people ask me, do you see any red flags in our relationship? And I guess, what are red flags? They're warning signs of potential unhealthy dynamics in a relationship. They can be behaviors, they can be attitudes, or situations that could be harmful, manipulative, or incompatible to a healthy relationship. Things like controlling behavior, who you can hang out with, what you can wear, wanting to know where you are all the time, lack of communication, dishonesty. If someone is dishonest with you, you need to call it out. If you say, where were you, and they lie, deal breaker. Make them tell you. Gaslighting or disrespect, patterns of abuse. They highlight potential dangers and issues that may need to be addressed. Here's the thing, though. Is it a red flag, or is it simply a personal growth area? That's what you've got to work out. So everybody has personal growth areas. I don't think anyone in this room would say, I am fully formed and I have no more growth areas. I don't. I do, I mean. I couldn't say that. So what's the difference? What's the difference between red flags, deal breakers, and personal growth? I would say the person's attitude to it when you bring it up. If someone goes, oh, and I can give you a perfect example. I have always been an extrovert. All my life I've been an extrovert. I have done every personality test on the planet and I cannot throw it. I am always an extrovert. I really like people. It's just what I like. I can remember driving with my husband. I can still remember where we were. And I said to him, I'm a really good friend. I have lots of friends. Yeah, okay, so I'm being honest. And he said to me, actually, you're not a good friend. I was like, I have more friends than you do. And he said, you might have more friends than I do, but you're not a good friend. Now, was he being mean? No. Was he being honest? Yes. Did it hurt? Absolutely. Was he right? 100% he was right. And he told me why I wasn't a good friend. And my attitude was, oh my God, I have some work to do. I want to really try and do this better because I want meaningful friendships, not just fluffy, pithy looking things over here, which is what I had. If you were my friend back then, it's okay. I grew. I think the attitude is what says whether it's a red flag. If someone is immediately defensive, refuses to change, refuses to identify it, refuses to get help, that's a red flag. But if someone says, oh, really? And you know that that person loves you and they would only tell you that because they want you to be the best person you can be, then that's just a personal growth area. A couple of things to finish. We are on time, but I am going to finish up. Can't talk about dating without talking about breaking up, right? Because it happens. Breaking up is hard, but sometimes it's inevitable. So set yourself up well for it. Conduct your relationship with respect, honor, and dignity, and treat the other person as something that is precious and a gift to your life rather than a right. I would say, don't get over-involved physically or make promises that you have to break. Honestly, I have a friend who honestly, very emotive, lovely, but honestly loves everyone within the first 5 minutes. Don't tell someone you love them until you understand what love is. Because it's kind of a promise that you then have to break if it doesn't work out. Don't talk about naming your children when you've been dating for 2 seconds. Promises that you then have to break. Don't talk about building a home. You can talk about what you like, but make sure it's what you like and not connected to you in a relationship because it makes breaking up really, really hard. Don't talk too quickly about the future, engagement, marriage, or children. And for goodness sake, don't try and spare the other person's feelings by staying together. I've talked to so many people who the relationship ended 6 months ago and they're still with the person because they can't bear to break their heart. I'm like, they're going to be more heartbroken to realize that you were gone 6 months ago than they would have been if you told them you were gone 6 months ago. Just tell them. Make the break sooner rather than later if that's what you're feeling, if it's unhealthy particularly. And for goodness sake, don't blame God. Can we stop that? I was praying today and God told me that we should break up. Ick, biggest ick in the world, and actually untrue. Actually untrue. God gave us a free will in every area of our life. Dating is no different. So don't say, God told me we're going to date, also a big ick. Because what happens if it doesn't work out? Is God schizophrenic? I don't think so. And for goodness sake, don't say, God told me that we should break up. Not true. That's just a lie. Because you need to understand that you're releasing that person to find their person. Okay. One more? Can I do one more? How and when to re-engage dating after a breakup? I would say this. Take your time. Don't mistake feeling lonely for being ready to re-engage. Get comfortable with who you are now and take time to work through the pain and hurt. Whenever there's a breakup, there is pain and hurt. Start slowly. And if you feel like you've messed it up or you feel messed up, then you need to talk to someone. Be open and honest. Let someone in to your world. Because rebuilding takes time. I don't know if you've ever seen a very large building be demolished. It's very fast, particularly when they use explosives. To rebuild it takes a very long time. They actually have to dig out all the foundations, relay the foundations and then rebuild the entire thing. And I think sometimes relationships are a bit like that. So don't be too quick to re-engage just to solve a pain in your heart. So how can we help? Stop making dating the ultimate destination. It isn't. And I'm talking to us as a church. How can we help? Stop it. Stop making dating the ultimate destination. Let's just champion people for where they're at in life. Every stage of life. Those who are working and killing it in business, those who are studying, those who are traveling. Let's just, how about we do that? The church should be a safe space. My notes just went bizarre. Church should be a safe space. It should be. And we're going to make it a safe place. It should be a safe place for where people can try and fail. Should be. Tell their stories without fear of judgment. Bring their hurts, bring their wounds, bring their successes. Learn from one another and invite Jesus to guide us through the stages of life. That's what church should be. So to wrap up, overall, healthy dating in a Christian sense involves building a relationship on a foundation of love. We talked about what love was. Faith and mutual respect with the ultimate God of glorifying God and honoring his principles in the relationship. It should be fun and a time just to work out if this is your person. Is this my person? And I said at the beginning, I dated before I knew Jesus and I dated afterwards. And I'd have to say the difference for me was when I knew Jesus, that I had the ability to seek wisdom. Didn't have that before. I had a bit of a guidebook on the value of people and I understood my value. I was more aware of my own purpose and vision than I had been before. I had a revelation of the value of life. I never felt alone or without hope when I met Jesus. And I had role models and people who I could talk to and seek wisdom from. And it was a game changer for me. I mean, being on a journey with Jesus changed my life. It gave me a future and a hope. Did it make it easy and without challenge? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's not what he's here for. But I had someone to walk through every challenge with. Chris and I were dating and broke up for, we were engaged actually, and broke up for 2 years for various reasons. And for me, the break was made because we simply couldn't go any further with the way we were going. He was, he had some burnout issues and just simply wasn't the person that I knew beforehand. And we broke up. And I didn't like it. I didn't understand it. I didn't want it to be that way. But because I knew Jesus, every night, it was really hard. We were in this church. It was much smaller. We didn't have great relationship series like this. So 1 week we would come together and sit together. And the next week, Nikki Seymour would remember this. We would sit on opposite sides of the room. It was very awkward. People stopped talking to me because they needed to choose a side. It was awful. Please don't do that. But I would go to bed at night, every night. And every morning I would get up in the morning, I'd put my big girl knickers on and, you know, go about my life and be a big person. And at night I would get home, and this is, I think, the difference with dating with Jesus. I would put my head on my pillow and I would say, I don't like this. It hurts. It's painful. I don't understand it. But I do trust you. I do trust you. And it got me through the darkest of times. And just because I did that is not the reason that we then got married. Please don't think that. But I actually got me to the point where I thought, I am enough in who I am. I am loved. I have purpose. I have life. I have vision. I didn't actually need the relationship, so when it came back around, I was a whole person with my own life and my own vision and my own goals, and we got married in 5 weeks. Again, wouldn't recommend that either, but you people thought I was pregnant. Anyway, I was not. I guess I say all that to say, having Jesus as part of the journey changed everything for me. And maybe you're here tonight, and maybe that's not your experience. Can I just really encourage you? This is how I started my journey with Jesus. Jesus, I have no idea whether you're real. People tell me you are. I just want to begin a journey and find out what you could be in my life. So maybe for you tonight, that's you. Maybe you've come along for a couple of weeks. Maybe it's your first time here. But something I've said tonight has resonated about how to walk through life with Jesus by your side. And if that is you, we'd love to empower that tonight. It's as simple as just what I did. Don't know if you're real, God, but I just want to start a journey. And the journey has been the best one of my life. It has grown me in ways that I could never have imagined. And tonight, if you wanted to start that journey, or maybe re-engage that journey, Josh and Sarah will be over at the Connect Hub afterwards. They'd love to have a chat with you and empower that part of the journey for you. Are you good? Excellent. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Oh, I do know what I'm supposed to do. We are going to have coffee and hang out and get to know people. And we're not going to ask them their relationship status, okay. We're just going to really encourage and empower people where they're at and just get to know people in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed. Have a great week.